Good morning and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church. My name is Pastor Nate Wallenberg, and we're gathered here today to remember and celebrate the life of Kent Rinker, a beloved husband and father and grandfather and Lutheran educator for his whole ministry, his whole career. He was principal here at Trinity in Hoyleton for 10 years from 1990 to 2000, and we feel very blessed to have known him. Today we gather for a service of celebration of the fact that God called Kent into the church triumphant on All Saints Sunday, this past Sunday. And you are going to notice that we'll be singing some hymns that go along with that theme for All Saints. And everything that you need for the bulletin today is printed on this blue bulletin, except for the words to the hymns. Those will be in the burgundy-colored hymnals in front of you in the pews. And we will begin today with the opening hymn, which is number 677, For All the Saints, and you may be seated.
Thank you.
please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In holy baptism, Kent was clothed with the robe of Christ's righteousness that covered all his sin. St. Paul says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." At this time, we now join together in reciting the words of Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God of grace and mercy, we give thanks for your loving kindness shown to Kent and to all your servants who, having finished their course in faith, now rest from their labors. Grant that we also may be faithful unto death and receive the crown of eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's word. Our first reading today is from the Revelation of St. John, chapter 7, beginning with verse 9. "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.' And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, 'Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen.' Then one of the elders addressed me, saying,
"Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In response, we now sing the hymn number 676, "Behold a Host Arrayed in White." The epistle reading is from St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand. Alleluia, alleluia. Jesus Christ is the firstborn of the dead. To him be glory and power forever. Alleluia. Our holy gospel reading is from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 14, beginning with verse 1. Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We now join together in speaking the words of our faith, the same words that Kent shared with us while he was here. If you need the words to the Apostles' Creed, they are printed for you on the back flap of the hymnal. We confess together, "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting.
Amen." You may be seated. Our next hymn is number 468, "I Am Content, My Jesus Ever Lives." to the family and friends of Kent Rinker, to those who are gathered here today to celebrate his life of faith and ministry, as well as to mourn its earthly end, especially to you, Loanna, Kent's beloved wife of 45 years. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Unfortunately, I was never blessed to call Mr. Rinker my teacher. But I do have to say that in the time I did have to know him, he did teach me. He taught me one really important lesson. God is in control, even when things don't go according to our plans. Today has not really gone according to our plans. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's not like there's been any major problems with the funeral service or anything like that. As far as that's concerned, I think we're okay, but just the fact that we're here at all, right? The fact that this funeral service is even necessary today, the fact that our Lord, in his divine wisdom, called Kent into heavenly glory after only 66 years here on earth, that's the part that wasn't really in our plans. That's the part we certainly weren't hoping for. And yet, here we are, being forced to acknowledge the same thing that Kent knew and believed and taught while he was here with us, that we aren't in control, that it's all in God's hands. And because that's true, even on a day like this one, we know that we have absolutely nothing to fear. Plans change. Circumstances change. That's kind of the reality of living in this world. When you look back on the 66 years of Kent's earthly life, you can see where he certainly went through a whole lot of changing and adjustment too. Even though Kent was the kind of guy who really liked having his routines, he liked sticking to a schedule if he could. And yet it's amazing when you look at his life how many times the Lord kind of threw him a curveball and he had to adjust. All these different times when he had to leave this old status behind and embrace something kind of new and different. Starting, of course, with one of the most important changes in his life, which happened when he was only 3 weeks old, being baptized into God's kingdom in Shelbyville, being changed from sinner to saint, from lost to found, from hopeless to redeemed. We certainly praise God for that. And then later on, as Kent grew up, there were more changes that came. Eventually, he had to leave home, leave high school behind, leave Illinois behind. He answered God's call into ministry by going to Concordia in Seward, Nebraska, to begin this teaching career. And there he met Loanna. And that led to more changes. Eventually leaving Nebraska behind and going to California where she was already teaching. Leaving the calm, peaceful life of the Midwest for the West Coast. Leaving bachelorhood to marry the love of his life. Leaving his college student status behind to begin his career as a teacher. And then, of course, eventually leaving more peace and calm behind when Jason was born. No offense. But you know, as the years went on, more changes. 2 years in Kansas, 4 years in Nebraska, 6 years in Indiana, then back to Illinois, 10 years here in Hoyleton, 17 years in Stewardson. From teacher to principal, administrator, 3 more children along the way. And even took a year off between Hoyleton and Stewardson to drive a truck. Just amazing. It just seems like every few years there was this new major adjustment, this new change, leaving an old life behind, having a new life to look forward to. But of course, the thing that never changed over all of that time, through good times and bad times, through the blessings and challenges of ministry, was the faith and the trust that Kent had in his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And maybe his love for cowboy boots. That didn't really change either. But seriously, as Kent faced the many interesting changes, moments of uncertainty in his life, he always seemed to do so with the kind of bravery that can only come from a strong faith in Christ. In our epistle reading today from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul says in verse 17, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." And then he says, "All this is from God." Kent knew and believed that whenever it was time to change roles and even to change residences, when it was time for the old to pass away and for the new to come, it was all directed by the same God who loved him enough to die for him upon the cross and take away his sins. A God who is gracious and merciful. A God who not only changes our circumstances, but he actually changes our lives. Our brokenness, our pain, our eternal destinations, they're all changed for the better because of Jesus. God has proven to us time and time again that he really is in control, that he knows what he's doing, even when things don't go according to our plans and according to our desires. And believe me, I know that this must be a really difficult thing to confess today. Because like I said earlier, none of this was in our plans. It has not gone according to our plans. And not just today, but these past several months, none of it has gone according to plan. I know that there are thoughts and there are questions that are running through our minds today as we see Kent's casket sitting up here in the front of the sanctuary. We might be thinking, we shouldn't have to be here. At least not yet. We might be thinking that, 66 years is just not long enough. We might be asking, why would God allow such a faithful servant, such a kind and loving Lutheran educator, a fantastic husband and father and grandfather, to suffer the way that Kent did? Why wasn't Kent's fruitful ministry rewarded with a happy and healthy retirement like he so obviously deserved? I don't have the answers to those questions any more than you do, because none of us has the mind of God. We don't have his perspective. But what I can tell you for sure is that I am very thankful that I got to know Kent when I did. Because in my visits and in my conversations with him, I got to see a strong faith on display. Over and over again, as he received bad news from the doctor, as the cancer spread, as the pain got more intense, as all of these different things happened with surgeries and infections and all this other stuff that made his eventual passing look more and more inevitable, not once did I see Kent fall into despair. Not once. Not once did I see him give up or abandon his faith or feel sorry for himself. And it was all because he knew that he was in God's hands. In the end, all of this was just another change, another adjustment in a life full of changes and adjustments. And the same God who saw Kent through all of those other moments would not abandon him now. And Kent knew that. Plans change. Circumstances change. Kent had plans for his earthly life. Some of them were never fulfilled. He loved being outdoors. He loved camping. And he wanted to do a whole lot more of that in retirement. He wanted to spend more time with the grandkids and watch them grow up. But you know what? Even though those plans fell through, God's faithfulness never did. And never will. Paul reminds us in that beginning of that epistle reading, he says, "For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." So do you catch that? Paul is saying our earthly lives are tents. All of us are camping. That's what we're doing in this life. It's all temporary. None of it lasts forever. The old eventually passes away and makes room for the new. Our old plans, our old habits, our old ways, even our old lives, they all pass away. 66 years old is not old, not by a long shot. But 66 years of camping in this broken world has finally come to an end for Kent, and we rejoice today that God has replaced that temporary tent with an earthly home, or the heavenly home, forever, eternally in heaven. Kent's confirmation verse confirms this and confesses this in a very powerful way as well. Given to him in 1967 at Trinity Lutheran Church in Springfield, Illinois, it's printed on the cover of the bulletin. It's the simple, classic, profound words of John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Eternal life. Never-ending joy and peace. Eternal life for all those who believe in the name of our crucified and resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Eternal life for you, eternal life for me, eternal life for our dear brother Kent. I don't know if you noticed this when I was talking about it before, but for every single one of these new calls that God gave to Kent in his life, it seems like each new call was a little bit longer than the first, right? 2 years, 4 years, 6 years, 10 years, 17 years. We're not going to count the truck driving year. But now God has called Kent to heaven eternally, right? This is the longest call that Kent has. The old has passed away. The new has come. The new life that God offers to us is a life that truly lasts way more than 17 years, way more than 66 years. God's promise of eternal life is forever. That's what eternal means. His forgiveness, his mercy, his love, they are absolutely limitless. His heavenly plans for you and for me will never fall through. God is in control. He has us in his hands. May we rest in those hands forever, come what may. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We continue now with our next hymn, which is number 801. How Great Thou Art.
Please stand for prayer. Let us pray to the Lord, our God and Father, who raised Jesus from the dead. Almighty God, you have knit your chosen people together into one communion in the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Give to your whole church in heaven and on earth your light and your peace, Lord, in your mercy. Grant that all who have been baptized into Christ's death and resurrection may die to sin and rise to newness of life, and so pass with him through the gate of death and the grave to our joyful resurrection. Lord, in your mercy. Grant that all who have been nourished by the holy body and blood of your Son may be raised to immortality and incorruption, to be seated with him at your heavenly banquet. Lord, in your mercy. Give to the family of Kent Rinker and to all who mourn comfort in their grief and a sure confidence in your loving care, that casting all their sorrow on you, they may know the consolation of your love. Lord, in your mercy. Give courage and faith to the bereaved, that within the communion of your church they may have strength to meet the days ahead in the assurance of a holy and certain hope and in the joyful expectation of eternal life with those they love who have departed in the faith. Lord, in your mercy. Help us, we pray, in the midst of things we cannot understand, to believe and find comfort in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy. Receive our thanks for Kent and for all the blessings you bestowed on him in this earthly life. Bring us at last to our heavenly home, that with him we may see you face to face in the joys of paradise. Lord, in your mercy. O God of all grace, you sent your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to bring life and immortality to light. We give you thanks that by his death he destroyed the power of death, and by his resurrection he opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Strengthen us in the confidence that because he lives, we shall live also, and that neither death nor life, nor things present nor things to come, will be able to separate us from your love, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Taught by our Lord and trusting his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We turn now to hymn 575. We sing, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less. Please remain standing.
Thank you.
I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Lord, now you let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My own eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of every people, a light to reveal you to the nations and the glory of your people Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord God, our shepherd, you gather the lambs of your flock into the arms of your mercy and bring them home. Comfort us with the certain hope of the resurrection to everlasting life and a joyful reunion with those we love who have died in the faith. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and grant to you his peace. Amen. Let us go forth in peace in the name of the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Our closing hymn is Lift High the Cross, number 837.
Oh Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the sun, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. When Christ shall come with sounds of acclamation and takes me home, oh, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I will bow in a humble and they proclaim, oh my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul,
looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind. He was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man, saw him on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump, said, boy, let me tell you what, you probably didn't even know it, but I'm a fiddle player too, and if you care to take a dare, I'll just make a bet with you. Now you play pretty good fiddle, boy, but let's give the devil his due. I bet a fiddle of gold against your soul, I think I'm better than you. Boy said, my name's Johnny, and it might be a sin, but I'm gonna take your bet, you're gonna regret, I'm the best as ever been.
Johnny, rise up your bow and play your fiddle hard, cause you're close in Georgia and the devil to his cards. If you win, you'll get the shiny fiddle made of gold, but if you lose, the devil gets your soul.
Up his case and he said, I'll start this show, and fire flew from his fingertips and he rolled up his bow. And then he pulled his bow across the strings and it made an evil hiss. And a band of demons joined in and it sounded something like this. When the devil finished, Johnny said, you know, you're pretty good, old son, but you just flop down in that chair right there. I'm going to show you how this stuff's done.
Run the mountain, run, boys, run. Devil's in the house of the rising sun. Chicken in the bread pan, pick it out, though. Man, you don't bite, no child, no.
Devil bowed his head because he knew that he'd been beat. And he laid that golden fiddle down on the ground at Johnny's feet. Johnny said, Devil, come on back if you ever want to try again. I done told you once, you son of a gun, I'm the best that's ever been. He played.
Fire, fire, run, boys, run. Devil's in the house of the rising sun. Chicken in the bread pan, pick it out, though. Ready to sit off like no child, though.
Georgia, he was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind. He was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man, saw him on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, boy, let me tell you what. You probably didn't even know it, but I'm a fiddle player too. And if you care to take a dare, I'll just make a bet with you. Now, you play pretty good fiddle, boy, but let's give the devil his due. I bet a fiddle of gold against your soul. I think I'm better than you. Boy said, my name's Johnny, and it might be a sin, but I'm gonna take your bet. You're gonna regret. I'm the best there's ever been.
Johnny, rosin up your bow and play your fiddle hard. Cause you're frozen in Georgia and the devil deals cards. If you win, you'll get the shiny fiddle made of gold. But if you lose, the devil gets your soul.
Case, he said, I'll start this show, and fire flew from his fingertips as he rolled up his bow. And then he pulled his bow across the strings, and it made an evil hiss. And a band of demons joined in, and it sounded something like this. Johnny said, you know, you're pretty good, old son, but you just flop down in that chair right there. I'm gonna show you how this stuff's done.
Run the mountain, run, boys, run. Devil's in the house of the rising sun. Chicken in the bread pan, pick it out, though. Ready to fight, no child, no.
Devil bowed his head because he knew that he'd been beat. And he laid that golden fiddle down on the ground at Johnny's feet. Johnny said, Devil, come on back if you ever want to try again. I done told you once, you son of a gun, I'm the best that's ever been. He played.
Fire, fire, run, boys, run. Devil's in the house of the rising sun. Chicken in the bread pan, pick it out, though. Ready to sit off like no child, though.